This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
You know, I don't want to say I told you so, but I kind of want to say I told you so. From the beginning of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell, even before it began, I've been saying this is going to be interesting if she's able to keep it together long enough to be in the courtroom, to be a part of her own defense and competent enough to be that. Day number two in actual testimony, and we're already starting to see cracks in that. It's a very interesting case to watch. If you've not heard some of the earlier reporting, we have it for you right here. This is a summary of events since lunch today on the 11th of April, 2023, in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell, going up until the end of court today at 3:30.
In today's court session, Lori Vallow Daybell's behavior took a significant turn. Earlier in the day, Lori appeared to be in good spirits, engaging in conversations with her attorneys, smiling and laughing. However, during the afternoon session, Lori's mood changed dramatically. She entered the courtroom with a red face and appeared to have been crying. Her attorneys requested a break to speak with her privately, after which she seemed even more upset. The change in Lori's demeanor may be attributed to the fact that she knew the evidence to be presented in the afternoon would be graphic and may have previously seen some of the images. Lori's sudden shift in behavior and her apparent request to leave the courtroom during the presentation of this evidence could have several ramifications. If the court had allowed her to leave, the prosecution could have used her absence against her during closing arguments. They could argue that her unwillingness to face the evidence in court is indicative of guilt or a lack of remorse. Additionally, her absence could have potentially influenced the jury's perception of her, casting her in a more negative light. However, Judge Boyce ultimately denied the request for Lori to leave the courtroom. He cited Idaho Criminal Rule 43, which states that a defendant's presence is required at every stage of the trial, though there are certain circumstances under which a defendant may waive their right to be present. Judge Boyce determined that Lori's presence was necessary and required her to remain in the courtroom. The afternoon session continued with Dett. Hermosillo's testimony, including the presentation of graphic evidence. He provided a detailed account of the events leading up to the discovery of Ty Lee and JJ's remains on Chad Daybell's property. Hermosillo recalled working with the FBI, Homeland Security, and other law enforcement agencies, noting that the operation to execute the search warrant had been planned for weeks. Hermosillo also discussed the various tips that the police received after September 8th, the last time Ty Lee was seen alive. He mentioned that the police followed up on every lead they received. Additionally, he provided clarification on why a warrant was obtained after the first visit to Lori's apartment, stating that it was based on the fact that Lori claimed JJ was with Melanie Gibb, but he was not. As the trial progressed, Hermosillo recounted the process of conducting an autopsy on the discovered remains. He described the horrific state of the bodies, including the plastic bag over JJ's head, the duct tape covering his mouth, and the visible bruising on his arms. These descriptions were accompanied by graphic images, showing the remains in various stages of decomposition. During the presentation of this evidence, Lori appeared to be avoiding looking at the screen displaying the images. Larry Woodcock, JJ's grandfather, was visibly distraught, sobbing in the courtroom. The trial also covered other key dates and events related to the case, such as the death of Charles Vallow, the shooting of Brandon Boudreau, and the death of Tammy Daybell. Hermosillo provided insight into the evidence found in Lori's garage, including guns and weapons. He testified that during the investigation, he never thought Lori owned those items. The afternoon session proved to be emotionally charged and intense for everyone involved. Lori's behavior, in particular, drew attention as she seemed to be struggling with the graphic evidence and testimony presented. Her request to leave the courtroom during this portion of the trial could have had serious consequences for her case, and her eventual requirement to stay and face the evidence may continue to impact her demeanor and the jury's perception of her throughout the remainder of the trial.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brewski.
Well, to see where it all leads from here on out, we're keeping you updated. Got courtroom audio coming for you as soon as the court gets it over to us. I've been talking with Ada County throughout the afternoon, and hopefully we'll have that for you shortly. As soon as we do, we'll get it to you on the feed so you can listen to all of this in its entirety in raw real time. Press subscribe so you don't miss it when it drops. My name is Tony Brewski. Stay with us.